So who's in heaven? So as I start sharing about some of the ones in heaven, one of the thoughts that I picked up on was what's the point? Who cares who's in heaven? I know Father, Son, and Jesus are, but beyond that, who really cares? What's the point? And the point would be is that Father wants us to engage with Him in the hosts of heaven so that we can manifest as sons. And, you know, for those of you that are new, haven't been here a lot, we talk about this stuff week in and week out. This is like who we are. So the first one is just to talk about the angels. Well, we all know that Father, Son, and Spirit are in heaven, right? That's we know they're there. Okay. We don't have to talk about them, okay? So the angels. For me, when the Lord started waking me up to encountering just the hosts of heaven, I had never seen in the realm of the Spirit before. I was always hearing stories and getting mad. Like, Father, you know, why does that guy get to see this or do that? He's no different than me. He's flesh and blood. He's a man. So why is he more... What's the difference? What's the big deal? Why am I not seeing? Why aren't you waking me up at 4 o'clock telling me stuff? I started getting upset and jealous, and then he started doing it. So the angels, because of all the many types of angels, in the Hebrew, the word is malak, M-A-L-A-K. Which means Lord. But then if you put two E's in there instead of two A's, Melek, it's king. So basically those three, the Mem, the Lamed, and I can't remember if it's the Kaf. I can't remember what the third letter is. But those three letters can be translated as king and as Lord. The Mem, the Lamed, and I can't remember what the third letter is. But the point is we just need to ask the Father to give us a better language for the angels, because that's just a generic term for a being that's coming out of heaven. Okay, tonight I've already got I think it's like 38 or 40 different types of angels. Okay, and I have and there's way more than that. These are just the ones that either I've encountered them or I've heard others encountering, and I've been journaling the ones that I've been hearing other people encountering. And I've just been writing, just journaling who they are, what they do, their function when they come, so that I can just receive them and flow with why God sent them. So I'm just going to read through some of the angels that I've written down. Judgment angels bring judgment of God onto the earth. The watcher angels, they watch over the presence of God and the mandates of God. Salvation angels bring and release golden nets of harvest. The glory angels, we had an angel show up here 2 months ago that Virginia and I encountered back in 2011 that we had journaled. The angel's name is Glory of Nations. And then that same angel showed up again like six or eight weeks ago to do some more stuff with us. And I would say, and so that angel is, you know, if I would put that angel in that category of a glory angel, okay, that angel came, anointed us with, it felt like warm, hot honey being poured out on us. And it was basically the glory that God was releasing that angel to anoint us for something. So the glory angels radiate the glory of God and steward His glory. Angels guard the gates. One time in the prayer room, in the house of prayer, I saw a gate in the spirit, and I knew it was associated to the city of Jacksonville. But there was a demonic spirit standing in the gate. So I was like, Lord, what is that? Who is that? What is that? And so then like a day or two later, the Lord released me to go back to that gate in the spirit to deal with that thing that was standing in the gate, and it got removed out of the way, and then two angels showed up to stand at the gate. Okay? So a lot, I'm not going to say every time, but from the gates that I've seen, typically there's angels that will show up to stand in the gates, to watch and to stand in the gates. There's scroll angels that bring you scrolls. Seal angels, they seal the testimony of God and bring the seals of God onto the earth. There's territorial angels, carry the mandate of God's territory and the mandate of his realm into the earth. I'm not sure if I've seen him one time because I asked the Lord to show him to me. It's the Church of the Angel of Jacksonville. You know how John wrote letters to the angels of the seven churches in Revelation? Well, there's an angel that's assigned to the church of our city. The church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ in this city. Okay? So I've got to see him one time, and it was pretty interesting because we were doing some meetings with a friend of ours, and God was starting to do some crazy stuff in these meetings, and it was like we were all like, this thing is about to blow up. You know, this is like that thing that we've been longing for, you know, for God to do. And when I got to see the angels, the one angel, and then the hosts that are assigned with him, okay, there was a sense of just longing and waiting for us. It's like they're longing and waiting for us to get on board and to be in agreement with what God's doing, okay? Dispensation angels, angels of assignment, angels of art, angels of grace, angels of holiness, angels of healing. I don't know if you guys have had an experience like this. Sometimes if you're praying for someone, that the Father can send or might send a healing angel to you on behalf of that person. And then it's just you acknowledging that that angel came, and then just recognizing and discerning that that angel has been sent for that person, and then you just releasing that angel. You know, and if that person, if you need to get that person involved somehow to be in agreement with that, to receive that healing angel that God has sent. So there's angels of healing. There's gathering angels. The gathering angels were what I mentioned earlier. The gathering angels, my experience with the gathering angels is that God will release them on your behalf to go and to bring back your inheritance, the things that have been stolen. In a really good book that illustrates this is Anna Roundtree's book, Heaven Awaits the Bride, where she had an encounter with the Lord. And okay, let me go ahead and mess with your mind with this one real quick. All right. In the occult, there are rituals and trading in the spirit for shamans, witch doctors, witches, whatever title you want to give them. But people that practice the occult, they do rituals, they do things that allow them to shapeshift. Okay? So if you've ever heard stories of, we actually heard one, Virginia told me one today, this guy Grant Mahoney, because this is kind of where this is coming from. If you haven't heard of Grant Mahoney, he's a guy from South Africa that now lives in New Zealand that's tracking in all of this stuff, and he's a really neat guy from what I've heard so far. And when they were in South Africa, which Africa in general has just the witchcraft and all that stuff is just part of their culture. So they were in a prayer meeting, and this hyena showed up at the door of the church where they were praying. They opened the door, and they started warring in the spirit. However they did that, the hyena shapeshifted back into the shaman, and he ran away. Another story that I've heard is these guys were praying in a hut in Africa, and this shaman had shapeshifted into the form of a crow or a bird or whatever. He flew over the hut where the Christians were praying, and because of the anointing or what had opened up where they were at, it broke the power of how he shapeshifted, and he fell through the roof of the hut naked. And then Ian has a really cool story where a coven of witches in their area was messing with that, you know, was confronting them in the spirit and really threatening the lives of the pastors and leaders, like they were threatening their lives and stuff. And they were praying, and the head intercessor discerned that someone or something or was had entered the room that was not of God, and he just did a like that, and a naked man fell into the room. When you clap your hand like that, you're releasing light into the realm of the spirit. So anyways, those are just stories. So the point of bringing all of that up is to say, you and I need to begin to ask the question, what is the counterfeit of that shape-shifting? What is the counterfeit? Because we all know everything's been counterfeited and stolen. So what is the real for us to come into? And so that Anna Roundtree book is a really good book, because in that book, Jesus shows up to her as an eagle. She appears as a young eagle, and they fly off, and they go around, and Jesus is showing her some stuff. And then he takes her into the enemy's lair where he's camped out or whatever. And so I'm tying all this together with the gathering angels, okay? He takes Anna Roundtree into where Satan's lair place is, and he brings her into that place. And he says that there's a mantle on the wall that's for you, and I want you to go and get it. So they fly in there, into that place. He points out the mantle that the enemy stole. That's the only way he got it, is he stole it from somebody, right? It was on a wall as a trophy. And she went and took what was hers and left. Okay? Those are the gathering angels that will do those same kind of things with you and I. So there's anointing angels. Okay, so the shape-shifting thing. The whole reason I brought that up is Grant Mahoney, apparently, because I've been getting, you know, obviously Virginia and I have been talking the last couple days. But Grant Mahoney, he's been able to encounter St. Patrick on a couple of occasions. And I guess it's documented somewhere that when he was in England and that whole island that God had sent him to, that apparently it's documented somewhere that he would, when the Druids were after him, if you've never read the book, Kathy Walters wrote a book called Celtic Flames. It's called Celtic Flames because Kathy Walters is from that area, from Ireland, I believe, or somewhere in that area. But she documents Columba and St. Patrick and the miracles. And, I mean, I love talking about this stuff. Patrick, when he was there, the Druids were the ruling religion in that day. And so Patrick went to the king. The Druids were challenging him. And they knew not to let him go near water because they knew something. They understood about the power of the water somehow. And so they challenged him on this particular day, and the Druids made fog come in this valley. And then Patrick said, "Now make it go away." And they were like, "Well, we can't." So then he prayed to God, and the fog went away. They did two more signs like that, and then they lost, and they got killed. And that whole kingdom got converted to the God of Patrick that day, because that God was the one that prevailed. So what's been documented is that sometimes when Patrick was on the run is that he would shapeshift into a deer and he would run away. So just go check that one out. I'm just messing with you tonight. So you can go and read that, pray about that. Lord, I don't know what to think about that. So there's mantle angels, angels of worship. Angels that blow the shofar, angels of the treasury, angels of incense, angels of revival, portal angels. I've seen portal angels a couple times. What? Who? Okay, well, Grant Mahoney. You do whatever you need to do with this. I'm just relaying the story. The Lord has allowed him to shapeshift into as a bear, And he's gone and rescued six women that were about to be raped. That's his testimony. Okay? So I don't know what you do with that, but that's his testimony. So this is why you and I need to know God. Okay? If some bear shows up in your room, don't ask me. Ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit. Just you, God, work that out. Portal angels. So I've seen portal angels a couple times where a realm in the spirit will open up, and then these angels will show up because they're guarding. It's like a gateway for heaven to come. So these two angels will show up. I've seen two show up with the portals when portals open up and God's doing something. Angels of deliverance, warring angels, covenant angels, angels of wisdom, pillar angels, celebration angels, angels that bring radiation of God's glory, commemorative angels, revelation angels, mandate angels, mission angels. Oh, and angel of the Lord and hunter angels. The one that I did another time in the prayer room, I don't know if I would call it a harvesting angel, but you know how in the prayer room downtown on the river, when you're looking north towards the city? Well, in the spirit, I saw this angel that was, I don't know what would be a good number, but he was big. And he had a bag of seed, and he was walking through the city throwing seed. So I kind of know him as maybe a sowing angel. He was sowing the seeds into our area. I want to see if I can find this scripture real quick. It's in Revelation. And it's about an angel. I wish I would have looked it up. But it's in Revelation, and it's about an angel that will be preaching the gospel. So the angels will be preaching the gospel. It's in Revelation. And I'm sorry that I didn't bring it up or write it down for you. Okay? So the angels. So the point is, there are a lot of angels for you and I to encounter and to interact with and to do things with, or God sending them for us or for other people. So it's just for us, for you and I, to discern who they are and why they're here. And why God sent them, why the Father sent them. Okay? So another group of hosts of heaven that you and I can encounter are the elders. And it's the 24 elders that are mentioned in Revelation. And the first time that I encountered them was when Paul Cox was here, because that was kind of the revelation where he was at that time. And for me, when I saw them in the spirit, they were about this tall. They were shorter than you and I. But they were dressed, you know, as you would think you would be dressed around a throne in the presence of a king. And when they came, I saw them coming downstairs. There was like three or five of them that came downstairs, or came down some stairs. And they walked up to me, and they just said, "We have a mess." I don't know if it was one or if all of them spoke together. I don't know. But then they just said, "We have a message for you." And then they gave me the message. It was for me personally, of what God was doing or going to do in my life. And then they walked away. And then another time that I encountered the elders was when they brought me some of my inheritance. They brought me these like leather bags, and they just started bringing them to me. And then I put them in my belly. So let me go ahead and mention that. If you have an angel, or if you have a heavenly host bring you something, a sword, a scepter, a mantle, a crown, a jewel, a treasure, a scroll, whatever, just by faith, you receive it, whatever it is, and then by faith, you're just going to bring it into your belly. You're going to bring it into your bosom as you're taking possession of what you just received, okay? So you're just going to bring it into. I know that when you do that, you're bringing it into your mountain, really. Okay, like I said earlier, most of you, I don't know if it's true for all of us, but I know that my treasury room and my mountain is down in the bottom, and that's just where all the stuff is, you know, that God has given me, or that I've I've gotten to receive. So a lot of times when you receive something, your spirit already knows what to do with it. You consciously may not even know what you're going to do with it, but your spirit knows where to put it, where it goes, and what to do with it. So you just so by faith, you're just, you know, like, okay, if there was an angel here now that had brought me a sword, I would have already acknowledged the angel being here, that the sword was for me, and just, Father, thank you for sending this angel to bring me this sword, so I just received the sword. And then a lot of times you'll see, the sword will be in your hand, and then, Father, I just bring it into my mountain. I just thank you, Father, for what you restored to me. So with that said, a lot of times when I've been interacting with angels or elders or whoever's coming, I'm always dialoguing with the Father in it. I'm keeping him in the conversation, right? Because he's the one that sent them. He's the one that gave them the assignment. So I'm acknowledging him as sending them. I'm thanking him for sending them. I'm thanking him for what they've brought to me. But I'm always bringing him into the conversation, okay? So it's just for you and I to realize that you're never alone in any of this, okay? You might show up somewhere seeing something and you don't see anybody or anything, but you're not alone. You at least have Holy Spirit with you, okay? And when that something like that happens, you've just got to learn how to, Father, where am I at? What are you showing me? What do you want me to do here? What's this for, you know? But just realize that you've got to learn how to begin to dialogue with him in that and ask him the questions, okay? So the elders, so those are the two encounters that I've had with them. And, you know, other people probably have had different encounters, but those are the ones that I've had with them. Okay, Melchizedek. So you've heard, most of you have heard us talking about Melchizedek a lot since we've started All Things Restored. Melchizedek. I know him to be, at this moment right now, I know him to be, in Job, when it says that the angels or the sons of God came to God and Lucifer came and they stood in the courts and all that stuff. In the Hebrew, B'nai HaElohim is sons of God. Okay? So the sons of God are, if you go back to Genesis 6, those were the ones that rebelled and left heaven. Okay? Those were the ones that took the daughters of men and made wives, and the giants and all that stuff came from all of that. So at this moment, I know Melchizedek to be a B'nai HaElohim, a son of God, and that in the day of Abraham, God released him to come into the earth and to be a priest and a king. Because he is without bloodline, he is without genealogy, he is without father or mother. Okay? So there's still a huge mystery around him showing up in the earth, other than God released him in the day of Abraham so that Abraham could have that trade with him when Abraham gave him a tenth of what he had taken back from the kings. Okay? And then Melchizedek gave him the bread and the wine, and there's all kind of symbolism in that exchange between them, those two. But the point is that Melchizedek had come out of heaven in that day to be priest and king. And in talking with several people, asking them, like, well, what has God shows you about Melchizedek? And, you know, why was he here? What was he doing? If you go back and read the book of Enoch, in Enoch's day, part of his assignment or purpose in the earth was to teach men the ways of God, because the ways of God had been lost. So Enoch was there to teach men, the men of the earth, how to walk with God again. And so Melchizedek did the same thing in his day, that he was teaching men how to walk with God. So Melchizedek in the heavens is known as the chancellor of the treasury room of heaven. And I've encountered Melchizedek maybe less than five times in the last 5 years, to give you kind of a perspective. It's not like I'm daily hanging out with Melchizedek, okay? He showed up a few times. I freaked out the first couple of times. And then the last two or three times I actually interacted with him, because I wasn't freaking out. And he just took me into a place in the heavens, like in the courts or the councils, and he showed me this hallway, and I knew by the Spirit that that's the war room, that's the council room, that's the news room, and that's where all these rooms were at, and that's where certain things go on. And he was, basically the Lord had sent him to show me the way into that place, because it was just time for me to see that place. Okay? The other thing, if you hear Ian talking about Melchizedek, Melchizedek has been showing up because he's looking for who's sitting on their mountain so that they can steward the wealth that God wants to release. Okay? So Melchizedek is looking at us and in the earth for the ones that have accepted, that have received their mountain, that are sitting on their mountain, and that are in that place so that they can steward the wealth that God wants to release into the earth. For that wealth to no longer be stolen by the demonic system that has been set up in this world, but for the sons to receive the wealth of heaven that God wants to manifest in our day. So the next one, seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God in Isaiah 11 are not speaking of the Holy Spirit, but they're speaking of seven separate beings that are around the throne of God. And so that is a picture of the government, is the three and the seven. So you have the fear of Yehovah, the spirit of Yehovah, wisdom, counsel, might, knowledge, and understanding. Okay? I haven't experienced or encountered all seven of them yet. I've encountered wisdom quite a bit, knowledge once, counsel, might, and I can't remember. I'd have to look in my journal if it was the fear of the Lord or the spirit of the Lord, but one of those two also that I've encountered them. The seven spirits are here to tutor us as sons. One of the scriptures that kind of describes that is in Galatians 4, where it says, a son and a servant, there's no difference in a son and a servant. Let me read it. So now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. There's all things again for you. You've been given all things, okay? But is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father, okay? So the seven spirits of God are some of those guardians and stewards that God is sending around our life to prepare us, to tutor us, to teach us the things that God is wanting us to know so that we can manifest as sons and grow in the knowledge of those things. Okay. The seven spirits are also associated with the seven colors of the rainbow. And I think Ian shared this weekend that when the seven spirits are established in and around your life, that it is in that, because those seven colors are only seen when the light is refracted, right? So when the seven spirits are established in and around our life and overshadowing us and doing what God has for them to do, that glory and the light of God will emanate and come forth in even greater ways or greater measure. The cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses are the ones that have gone before us, that have walked in the earth, that were Christians, and that have passed on into eternity. And they're even still with us today. We've been encountering them here at All Things Restored. And in Hebrews 11, at the end of 11, oh, let me say this. In Grant Mahoney's encounter with St. Patrick, Patrick told him that he longed to see this day that we're walking in, and he wished that he could have known the things that we're getting to know. Patrick said that to Grant Mahoney when Grant Mahoney got to interact with him. So God, having provided something better for us, that they, the cloud of witnesses, should not be made perfect apart from us. So we're connected with them, and they're connected with us, and we're all going to enter into perfection together. Okay? Because the foundation that they've laid, you know, the forerunners that God has raised up in the generations that have laid the foundations of grace. I mean, have you ever thought that people lost their life just for translating the Bible into English? I mean, have you seriously thought about that someone gave up their life so that they could read the Bible in English. I mean, that's a big deal. And we don't even think about it. And we're wanting to send out, you know, a bazillion translated Bibles around the world, but the blood that's been shed just for us to read the one that we have. So the cloud of witnesses. So a lot of times when someone shows up from the cloud of witnesses, usually my experience has been that and I think Grant Mahoney shared this, Virginia was telling me that, and this kind of lined up with my own experience, because for whatever reason I had this fascination with Joan of Arc for like a year. I read every book about Joan of Arc. And she was one of the first ones I encountered out of the cloud of witnesses. And so what he said was, is when you honor the life of those saints that have gone ahead and you honor their life and you just, you know, even just take the time to read about what they walked in and what they did, that in that honoring of them, there's that connecting with them and then Father releasing them to give you something, you know, whatever it might be about. But I know that Joan of Arc showed up. And here again, I freaked out when I saw her the first time, because that was like one of the first times of, because she's not in the Bible, so what do you do with that? It would be easy for you and I to receive Abraham because he's in the Bible. It'd be easy for you and I to receive Paul or James or any name that we can go find in this book. We would probably be okay with it. But, you know, Joan of Arc, maybe, but some obscure person show up that you've never heard their name, you don't even know who they are, but God sends them to give you something. You know, that's why we've got to discern, you know, who's the one that God has sent. So the cloud of witnesses, and I want to say this, that the scripture says, this is a quote, Jesus said these words, "If you can believe, all things are possible for those who believe." Okay? My heart is for us to just simply talk about what's possible so that we can begin to believe for it. And that's our only part, is to believe. And then God will work out what that's supposed to look like in your life and my life, but we just need to have the belief for whatever that is. And then God will do what he's going to do with us in that. Okay? So the cloud of witnesses, so I've got to interact with Moses, David, and Paul, and then Joan of Arc, and then that Indian chief that came here one time, Abraham. So we've had some come, it's just going to become more and more prevalent for that to become normal, for us to interact. Because, you know, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. They are alive with him in the heavens. They are alive with him in the spirit. They're not dead, okay? Yeah. Well, yeah, you need to always ask, whether an angel, anybody, you need to ask who they are. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, test all spirits, that if they deny Jesus coming in the flesh, that's one way that you can test the spirits, okay? That they need to acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, okay? The one way that I discern is, you know how when you get around people and they're angry? You can feel that anger, right? So they're resonating anger, and you can feel it. So a lot of times, when a being or an angel or whatever shows up, they will be resonating either the presence of God, okay? So you'll either feel loved, secured, safe, peace, whatever. Whatever the presence of God feels like to you is more than likely what it's going to feel like when that angel or whoever shows up, because they're going to be carrying a measure of the presence of God because they've come out of his presence, okay? But then if you have something of darkness show up, my experience with that has been either anger, rage, fear, like intense fear. So if you just learn how to pick up on like the emotions or what you're feeling when this when they're coming around, and then just interacting, who are you, why are you here, where have you come from, you know, if you need to say, do you know, is Jesus, who is Jesus, or, you know, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh, whatever the questions are that you might come up with to ask them so that you can receive why the Father sent them, or, no, I don't want anything from you, you can go now, because I had that happen to me. I was at a meeting with a friend of ours. There was a lot of deliverance going on, some crazy wild stuff was happening. I got home the next day, and all of a sudden, I'm in the kitchen, and this anxiety and fear just keeps building and building and building. I'm like, Virginia, I got to go. I got to go take care of something. I go over to the apartment in the back of our property, and I'm up there praying, and all of a sudden, I see this thing standing in the spirit, and it's saying, this is what it said to me. It said that you summoned me, and I'm like, I didn't summon you, and you can go, you know? But, I mean, it was like a mind just... fear and anxiety when that thing was starting to draw near to me. And that's what it felt like to me. So then I just had to go and say, no, I didn't invite you, and you can go now. And he did. So, all right, so the last, so the chancellors, this is kind of a new, a new group of hosts or whatever that we're beginning to experience. A couple of weeks ago, I was able to go to one of the gates of Zion. I'm not sure at the moment how many gates there are, but I showed up at this gate of Zion, and I went through the gate, and all these chancellors showed up and started loading me up with stuff and a caravan of stuff so that I could come back with stuff. And I know that this is connected with the whole releasing me in the Sia, you know, that I was talking about. So these chancellors, those are a new group of hosts that we've begun to hear about and encounter, and I'm not sure, you know, what all their function is at the moment. I haven't really seen them. I've seen them more from afar than I've seen them personally interacting with them, like in other experiences. So the chancellors are, if these chancellors are the same as Melchizedek, then my first thought would be that they're sons of God, okay? Now, the sons of God are sitting on the thrones. They're waiting for us to come into maturity, all right? The sons of God that did not fall, that their assignment, part of their function has been to hold the thrones for us until we're able to take that place. When we become mature enough and the Father says, okay, it's time for you to do that, okay? So the sons of God are sitting there in those places waiting for us to grow and mature so that we can take our place. All right, so the last one that I'm going to go through really quickly is the canopy. And part of that comes from Daniel 7, when the Ancient of Days showed up, and it says that he's surrounded by thousands and thousands and 10,000s are before him. I haven't personally encountered the canopy. Ian calls it an angelic canopy around God's throne. I've encountered some of the beings in the canopy, but I've never seen the canopy as it's been described. Okay? So there's 10 layers, or there's 10 different beings or hosts that are in the canopy that are around God's throne. The first one is Hayot, which are the living creatures, and Metatron is the head administrator of this group, and Metatron is the one that Mike Parsons talks about in Vision Destiny 2015, that he's the key, he's the one that's releasing the keys, and he's about timing. Some other beings that Virginia and I encountered, I believe, are living, this is the living creatures, okay, and Ian said that he's encountered 21 different creatures so far that are part of that type of being, okay? The ones that I think they are living creatures, the one that we encountered, we knew them as metronome. We called them metronome angels, and they look like little triangles. But they were here to, just like a metronome is all about timing, right? And being in sync. So those metronome angels, God sent the metronome angels to line us up in places in our life when we were out, where we were out of sync or where we were out of alignment. Those metronome beings were there to bring us back into alignment and sync with the Father. The Ophanim are the wheels within the wheels, and Reziel is the head administrator. The wheels within the wheels is what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 1, okay? The wheels were alive, right? It says that the wheels were living. It's like when the throne moved, the wheels were doing what the throne was doing. And so those are the Ophanim. And those are the spheres or the wheels within the wheels. And Connie encountered those when she was in that coma about 3 or 4 years ago. And she's got a really cool story when she encountered the wheel within the wheel. And like for her, the wheel, something, it had something to do with going back on the timeline and popping in and out of the timeline. You'll just have to ask her about it. I don't remember all of it. So the Aurelium are the mighty ones. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to read not the head administrators and all that stuff. I'll tell you what they do or what their function. The mighty ones, Kashmilium are the shining, bright, brilliant ones. The Seraphim are the burning ones, and I'm not sure if this is the same Gabriel of the Bible that we read about, but Gabriel is listed as the head administrator of the Seraphim, okay? And the Seraphim are the ones that bring us the coal to purify us and to prepare us for service, which is what happened to Isaiah. If you go and read Isaiah, when he interacted with the Seraphim. The Malachim are the messengers, and Uriel is the head administrator. And this is a question I have to the Father, is I don't know if that's the same Uriel that took Enoch on his adventure in the galaxies and showed him the whole universe, basically. If you've ever read the book of Enoch, the angel's name was Uriel that took him and showed him basically all of creation. Here's a funny story. I was like, when I was reading the book of Enoch, I'm like, Lord, I want to meet Uriel. You know, if Enoch got to meet him, I want to meet him. 2 days later, I get this random email from this guy that I don't know. And he found the website and he emailed. And he was in the middle of the email. He's like, and may you hear the words of Uriel, blah, 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 blah. He referenced Uriel in his email and talking about interacting with Uriel. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to meet Uriel. Elohim are the judges, and Ian, some of these notes are from Ian. He says that they look like man angels. I'm not sure if I've really encountered Elohim yet. The B'nai Ha Elohim are sons of God, and they're the ones that hold the thrones until we come into maturity. I've got to meet one is assigned to my life, and his name is Jack Lell, and he... it was funny when I first encountered him, because I saw him standing behind me. In the spirit, you can see backwards. Have you encountered that? Where you're like, you're physically looking forward, but you know you're looking backwards? So that can happen. So anyways, I knew that this one was standing behind me, and I was like, so this was like after I realized it's okay to interact with them, you know? It's okay to talk to them. Because up to that point, I was like, okay, I know I see him standing there, but I don't know what to do with that. But then I started realizing, well, okay, I can interact. Why are you here? Who are you? So he said his name is Jack Lell, and that the Father sent him to help me fulfill my mandate. And it was funny, because I was like, so what is my mandate? And he said, you need to ask the Father. I'm like, okay. And he's been around. Sometimes I've discerned when he's come, and he'll do stuff. I don't know exactly what all he does, but I sometimes I've discerned when he'll come and he'll be doing things in the atmosphere of the spirit for wherever stuff's going on. The cherubim are the covering ones, and sometimes they'll interact with us in worship, and they'll come and cover when heaven and earth come into agreement. And the ishium are the warring ones. And they're closest to the prince warring angels on behalf of the nations. And one last one. Shane shared about this on Sunday, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. I haven't got to encounter these beings yet, these hosts. But what was cool was, is Mike Parsons, when we did one of our first Skype calls with Mike Parsons, he mentioned it. And he's like, he just threw it out there talking about the hooded ones showing up and doing stuff. And we were like, whoa, who are the hooded ones? And he says, those are the sons of Adam that didn't sin. They are the sons of Adam that did not sin. So when Adam and Eve were told to leave the garden, some of their sons were still in the garden, and they appear as hooded ones. I believe it's because of the glory that they're walking in. So Shane and Connie both, like, we heard Mike Parsons talking about that, and within a week, Shane encountered him a couple of times. Within 2 or 3 days of Mike Parsons mentioning it, Shane encountered him. And then for whatever reason, I remembered that months ago, Connie in dialysis, she came home and she was like, yeah, I went into Jesus' side and it was like a cave and the Lord said, I'm going to meet the hooded ones here. And so I had to remind her of that. I'm like, Connie, God already told you you're going to meet them. Because she was kind of like getting a little weirded out with it. But I had to remind her that God had already told her that if you go back into that place, they're going to come and do stuff with you. So the hooded ones so far here, you know, Shane and Connie have interacted with them a couple times. And at the moment, all we know is that they are the sons of Adam that did not sin and that just remained in the glory, just remained with the Father. And so Shane will probably talk about more of that later on at some point as more understanding comes. Because they have an assignment, they have a function, and, you know, God might send them around your life. And, well, in Shane's case, the Father told him, it doesn't matter what you do, they're going to do what I sent them to do. So you can talk to them or not, but they're going to do what God sent them to do. So, okay, so I'm going to close with this. I kind of put together a prayer. And I'm going to put it up on the website. Oh. So hopefully. Oh. I got to unlock it. So this was Father today. Can everybody see that all right? This was a prayer that I put together this week. And there is no secret. There's no special anointing. There's no anything that you and I need. It's just beginning to acknowledge the ones that God has sent. And you're doing it by faith. Whether you're seeing them or not, you know by faith that they're around your life, right? You know that angels are around you, right? Yay? No? You don't know? Maybe? Okay. So all you're beginning to do is acknowledge that they're there. Whether you're seeing them yet or sensing them, it's just you're beginning to acknowledge that they're there. You're receiving why they've come, and you're releasing them into what Father has for them to do, either for you or for others or something in creation. Okay? So I'm going to try and get that up on the website in the blog section so then you can download it if you want it. And, I mean, this is exactly what I did when I was starting down this road, okay? I found some prayers. I found some stuff to engage with because what you're doing is you're engaging with God. You're engaging with the Father in this so that the truth and the reality of who's there can begin to open up for you. Because like I've said before, the only reason that you're not seeing anything is because your mind is still veiled There's still a veil covering your mind of something, either unbelief, fear, shame, doubt, confusion. But it's just the veil that's just covering the mind, okay? And then I think, I think it was Heather. For me, when my spiritual sight started opening up, I started just seeing little flashes of light. Just little flashes. If you're looking at somebody's face, if you're looking at them in their eye and you see this little flash, doosh, 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 those are angels, okay? Your eyes are beginning to open up. You're beginning to see in the realm of the spirit, okay? So then just begin to acknowledge. Don't walk away. It's like, man, what's wrong with my eyes? I was like, something's wrong. No, nothing's wrong. You were seeing angels around that person, just as little flashes of light. So you're beginning, your eyes are beginning to open up. So the more that you acknowledge what you're seeing or what's going on, the more it will begin to open up for you. There's no secret to this. It's just you beginning to acknowledge the truth of what's going on around you. And that it's not your imagination, it's not fantasy, you're making it up, and all the stuff that you and I, all the excuses of why that's not an angel. You know, well, maybe a light bulb went off over there or something, I don't know. Okay, so if you're in agreement with me, let's just stand and we'll pray this prayer. And if you end up downloading this prayer, I fully expect for you to some point go off the page, right? You know what I mean by going off the page? It's like it's your own words now. It's your own relationship. It's you and God, you know? You're not rotely, Father, today, by faith, da, da, da. Okay? The point is for you to make this your own prayer. You know, and you can use the same thing for, I just wrote it in terms of the hosts of heaven, okay? Whoever God has sent around your life is for you to begin to acknowledge that they're there and for you to begin to discern that they're there. So you want to read in unison? How you want to do this? Okay, you ready? Father, today, I thank you for all of the heavenly hosts that you have assigned in and around my life to bring forth the fulfillment of my scroll according to your word and perfect will. Father, I ask for greater maturity in the gift of discernment to discern the ones that you have sent so that I can come into agreement with you and to discern the realm of the Spirit more clearly and accurately. Father, by faith, I come into agreement with your word and perfect will. I declare this day yes to you and all that you desire for me. I acknowledge you, heavenly hosts, now by faith, knowing that you, Father, have sent them to minister to me, to tutor me, and to co-labor with me and I with them, so that I may accomplish and fulfill my part in the restoration of all things as your Son. I receive you, heavenly hosts, now by faith in and around my life to accomplish the word of the Father and the assignment that he has given to you concerning me, other people, and all of creation so that his word and perfect will can be established now, today. I release you, heavenly hosts, now by faith into the assignment concerning the Father's word and perfect will. I come into agreement now by faith with the assignment and fulfillment of the Father's word so that the restoration of all things can be fulfilled in me and in all of creation. I pray these things from the seat of rest, being seated with Christ in heavenly places for the glory of the Father and his name, Yahweh. Amen. So if you just begin to acknowledge, receive, and release, just begin to acknowledge them for a while every morning. Just begin to practice doing that, and I promise you, you will begin to encounter the ones that God is sending around your life so that you can just, whatever it is that Father has for them to give to you, to reveal to you, and to open up for you. So, Father, I just thank you, Father, for just the revelation, Father, for us to know that it's okay to have relationship, that it's okay for us to interact, to speak with angels and any of the hosts that you send to us, Father. Father, that we understand that we're not to worship them, but Father, that it is your will for us to interact with them and to acknowledge that they're there So, Father, I pray for each and every one of us and for those that would listen to this message, Father, that we would begin to acknowledge and to discern and know the ones that you've sent in and around our life so that heaven can come and every good thing that you desire to release into our possession and into our lives, Father, so that we can fulfill everything that's been written about us, Father, on our scrolls. And so I just thank you for tonight, Father, for our time together and just for seeds being sown and, Father, for truth, Father, being realized for each and every one of us, Father, just our eyes opening up more and more, our ears opening up more and more, and, Father, to receive all that you have for us. And so I just thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.